He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. We are actually going to continue on in our reading of the Gospel of John this morning. We're going to be reading the Gospel of John chapter 20, and we're going to just go ahead and pick right back up in verse 19 and read on to verse 31. And I want to let you know, we've read the first part of the Gospel of John. We've read that first part of John 20, and we look at that as the resurrection account. But this is all the same day. We are just continuing on in the story of what happened on that Easter Sunday, what happened on that resurrection Sunday. And so if you would, please stand, if you are able, for the reading of God's Word. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, starting in verse 19, we read these words. When it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. But if you are retained the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." A week later, the disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Please be seated. Have you ever been reading something, and suddenly you had to kind of stop and figure out, like, what you were reading? You know, we live in a day and age where sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. And every once in a while, I'll be reading something, and maybe the looks of it might appear to be like a news article. But then as I'm reading it, I realize just how crazy the things that are being said or the claims being made are. And suddenly I got to go like, wait a minute, who wrote this? And you kind of go back and say it's a website or a Facebook page or something like that, and you kind of maybe realize after the fact that you were reading something thinking it was news, and then you come to the realization that it was actually like meant to be fiction or fake. Who here remembers going to the grocery store when you were younger, and you'd be in the checkout thing, and they would have like those magazines that would have all of these wild things like, "I had an alien's baby." You know, do you remember those? Did anybody ever buy those things? Okay, good. There you go. I was waiting. For just a second, I thought Lisa was about to raise her hand, and I was going to have a lot of fun with that, just so you know. You know, we used to see these fantastical things, and they make it look like news, but it's not actually news. And so then it makes you kind of question what's going on. And we do that in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of times that we have to kind of go back and say, now, wait a minute, what am I reading? We might ask ourselves the questions, is this something serious? Is this news, or is this intended to be serious, or is this satire? Is this fiction, or is this a joke? Have you ever been reading something and thinking it's like a real story about someone's life, and then there's a punchline at the end, and you go, ah. First off, half of Joe's stories are that. And you never know, you know, when the punchline's going to hit you. And you're not sure if is it fiction, is it a joke, or is this something real? Is it nonfiction? Is this a historical thing, someone telling their story? Is someone trying to tell me facts? Or is this somebody's conspiracy theory? Those type of things. Or really, sometimes you're listening to someone, and then suddenly you kind of go, and I know you. This has happened to everybody here. And suddenly you go, oh, you're just trying to sell me something. A lot of times we read things and we have to figure out what the purpose of the writing is. Is it there to teach me something? Is it there for entertainment? Is it telling me about something going on in the world so that I might know what's happening in other places? Or is it trying to convince me of something, trying to show me or convince me that something is true? And often, once we kind of understand what the person is trying to communicate, the reason why they're writing something, it helps us understand how we're to read it. Well, the Bible is something we need to understand. And we need to understand why it was written and what the authors were trying to show us, trying to tell us, trying to reveal to us. And to be quite honest, we're going to read a psalm very differently than we are going to read the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to read the Gospels even a little bit differently than we are going to read the book of Revelation. But what I love about the Gospel of John is that he tells us exactly why he wrote his gospel. He kind of takes the guessing game out of it for us. We might read the Gospel of John and we could come away with a lot of conclusions, but as we get into John chapter 20, we see these words, "These are written so that." And we're going to get to what the "so that" of that is today. But before we do, I want you to really look at what John is actually writing. What is he telling us in his story of the resurrection, in his account of the resurrection today, and how that feeds into the purpose and the reason for his writing? The first thing we see in our passage today, so bear in mind, we've already read that we had Mary Magdalene, and we can look at the other Gospels and know that there was other women that were with her, but John wants to focus on Mary Magdalene and her experience. She goes to the tomb and finds the tomb empty. And in the midst of all that, she tells the disciples, there's the two, you got to love John. John wanted to make sure that for all eternity, we all knew that he beat Peter to the tomb. Like, he was the faster runner. And even though when all is said and done, the thing that we get, the message that we get from Mary is, I have seen the Lord. And then we get into what happens. And I want you to understand, the first thing that John wants his reader to understand is that Mary Magdalene, along with the disciples, minus Thomas, that they had all actually seen the resurrected Jesus. And I want to understand something. He's saying, listen, we saw him. We saw him. We didn't feel his presence. There wasn't a real Jesus vibe in the room that night. It wasn't like that there was, I just had this sensation go over me and I just knew that Jesus was near. John is telling us that Jesus was actually there. And we know this because of the words he uses, like things like he says where he says, he showed them his hands and his side. This means that when they were looking upon Jesus, they weren't looking upon just some spectral thing. It wasn't a feeling. It wasn't an emotion. It wasn't a vibe. It wasn't some other abstract idea. But they were looking at the person of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus that had hands, that had a side, that he was visible to them. And John wants us to know that Jesus really did bodily rise from the dead. This tells us something. One, we should not read the Gospel of John as though it is an allegory or a myth or some sort of other thing. Well, we're just trying to get the theme of the story, of the general vibe. No, Jesus is actually alive. And the scriptures remind us of this over and over and over again. In fact, even as we just go to the writings of Luke and the writings of Paul later, we can see in Acts 1:3 it says this, that after Jesus had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them in many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, someone may look at all of this and say, well, okay, so you're telling me that these 12 people plus some ladies and maybe a few others, they saw Jesus. Well, how do you know that they weren't just so grieving and so messed up and so sad that they believe they saw anything? And how do you really know they saw that? I'm so glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 15, for I passed on to you as of most important that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive. This is Paul talking. Some of them have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one who was born at the wrong time, he appeared also to me. Well, we can't look at the resurrection and say, no, it was just a feeling. No, this is myth. No, it was just the hallucinations and the grief of a small group of people. No, there were hundreds of people who saw the resurrected Jesus and saw that he was alive, really there, present in the body, alive. They saw it. But they actually did more than see it. See, they not only saw the resurrected Jesus, but they also touched the resurrected Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I love Thomas. Because sometimes I am a Thomas. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a big conspiracy guy. And if you start telling me conspiracy stuff, I kind of make a face. See, I inherited a face from my dad. I passed it on to my firstborn. And it's this face. And I can't hide it. And so if you see me give you that face, that probably means I'm not convinced. Huh? That's the Missouri face. That's the show me face. You got to drop your chin a little bit. And so, having said that, I want you to understand, I do not believe in Bigfoot. I think there's some big, hairy man that's wandering around the woods messing with you people. I don't believe in Loch Ness. I'm just not a conspiracy guy. And so, when I meet a guy like Thomas, I get it. Thomas is the one guy not there that night. Can you imagine being the one guy not there to see Jesus on the first Easter Sunday? First off, I just want you to know, if there was one person in this room that would miss it, it would be me. Thank you. My daughter agrees. And so when they get back, Thomas gets back, and you know, they probably sent him to go get bread or something. Could you imagine that you're at the grocery store when Jesus comes back? And he shows up and they say, John wants us to know that they saw Jesus. And then Thomas walks in and they go, we saw Jesus. And he goes, yeah, right. And they're like, no, seriously, we saw Jesus. Oh, I know, we all see Jesus in here. No, we actually saw Jesus. I know, and if I close my eyes, I can see Jesus too. Thomas, we saw Jesus today, alive. Hallelujah, amen. And then Thomas goes, look, unless I see him and I put my hand in the holes in his hands and I put my whole hand into his side, unless I do those things, I will never believe it. Now, there could be a million reasons why he felt that way. But I can tell you this much, I get it. And yet, if we fast forward just a few verses, and just a week later, we see Thomas say, my Lord and my God. Because he did. You got to love John and you've got to love the authors of the Gospels because they point out even the doubt in the disciples. If they were, you know, writing this and they wanted to make the disciples look good because that's who everybody was supposed to be following, they'd be like, oh, and the disciples knew all along and they were like, well, welcome back, Jesus. What took you so long? But instead, we have Thomas saying, I won't believe. In fact, I'll never believe. Unless these things happen, I will never believe. And guess what? He says, and you know what? Thomas believed. Why? Because that's exactly what happened. And a week later, Jesus appeared to them. And you've read it already today. And Jesus, could you imagine Jesus showing up that time and everybody else had seen the resurrected Jesus, but Thomas had not seen the resurrected Jesus, and then everybody just looked at Thomas. I told you so's are never fun, aren't they? This was probably a good one. And imagine making eye contact with Jesus and you're Thomas and you feel suddenly that big lump in your throat and then you see Jesus and all his love and all his grace and all of his patience say, hey, Thomas, you want to touch my hands? Do you want to touch my side? Now, the interesting thing is if you look at this passage at the very least, it doesn't actually say he did. But he saw Jesus. He was offered the opportunity to touch Jesus, to experience the fact that Jesus was indeed alive. And because of that, we see his tune change. You know, I have to say, you know, we today are not really going to be given the opportunity to touch the resurrected Jesus. But you know, we can experience the resurrected Jesus. And we can experience the grace of God and the love of God, and we can experience what it means to have a relationship with God and to have put our trust in God. And I think that even that's what this passage is inviting us to today. We see in Psalm 34:8, it's one of my favorite verses. I probably quote it too often, but it says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him." See, even though we may not be able to actually physically put our hands into the side of Jesus today, we can see that God is inviting us to test his faithfulness, to talk to him, to pray to him, to lift things up to him in prayer, to go to the Lord with whatever is burdening our hearts and to ask him to work in our lives in such a way that we might experience his love and his grace. Now, this is not to say that we should say, hey, God, if you're real, strike this tree with lightning. But we can say, hey, God, I have no idea how you can turn this situation into something good. And God, I'm really struggling trusting you in this moment. And I'm having a hard time believing that you even really care that I exist. And so, God, I'm going to lift this up to you. And God, I'm going to trust you with the outcome. And I want you to understand something. Jesus is not afraid of Thomas's doubts, and he is not afraid of our doubts at all. And so when you are doubting and when you are struggling, maybe you're here today and you're not really sure if you buy into this whole Jesus thing, I would challenge you today. Try him. Test him. Take things to him. Say, God, I don't know if you're real. It's okay. I'm opening this up to you. Say, God, I don't know if you're real, but this is what's going on in my life. And I don't know how you can turn this into something good. I don't know how you can work through this, but I'm going to hand this over to you and I'm going to trust you. And don't give him specifics. Don't give him parameters. Don't ask for something just too, you know, don't ask him for something that you know, write my name in the sky. But just say, hey, I don't know, but I'm going to hand this over to you. Worked with several years with a missionary who worked in Argentina and then in Brazil. He was a partner missionary of our church. And we got to talking about how he was reaching a certain people group in Brazil. And he said, I've started meeting with people, and what I do is I just ask them about what's going on in their life, and they tell me. And people are pretty quick to tell you about the things that are going on in their life and their struggles. And he said, these people are not believers. And so what I tell them all the time is I say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray that God does whatever in your life. And then they schedule a time to meet again. And then when they meet again, he'll say, hey, and he does pray. And he says, hey, I prayed for you with this. What's happened? And you would be astounding as how many times they'd say, oh my goodness, what you prayed for is what happened. And then he gets to say, you know, the God I serve is real. And his name is Jesus. And he rose from the grave and he's still alive. And the reason that your prayer is answered is because he's real. And can I share you a little bit more about my Jesus? We invite you to taste and see that the Lord is good. So what is this all for? What is the goal of John telling us that, hey, when we talk about Jesus, that we saw the resurrected Jesus, that we touched the resurrected Jesus, what was it all about? And we see it in all of it. It is because John, and I believe God the Holy Spirit through John, is saying to believe. In fact, going back to verse 31, I want to read it for you today. He says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. When we look at this passage, we recognize that everything that John has said up to this point points to this reality. In verse 20, the disciples rejoiced when they saw Jesus. Why? Because they believed. When Jesus told Thomas, put your finger in my hands and put your hand in my side, he said, don't be faithless, but believe. That is the goal of all of this. John is writing his gospel to you so that you might believe. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, this is what John is inviting us all to today, and indeed what we are inviting you to this Easter morning. We are inviting you to believe. To believe that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, and that by believing you may have life everlasting. Now, we explain it a certain way. We're going to put up the three circles. Are you paying attention back there? Oh, it's my wife. She is paying attention. What we say when we say believe, we mean this. First off, we believe here at Tunnel Hill Baptist Church that there is a God in heaven and that he has a design and a purpose for your life. In fact, the Bible says that in the beginning God created all things, and when God had created everything on the sixth day, he looked at all that he created and he said it was very good. And that actually translates to you and to me, and that God has made you with a reason and a purpose and a design. And if we could live out our design, God's design for our life, then things would just be great and we would experience blessing all the time. But guess what? We don't. But because of Adam and Eve, and because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they sinned against God, we have sinned as well. And so we do not continue living in God's design for our life, but we leave God's design to find our own way. And just like anything and everything that we create, if we use it a way it's not intended to be used, it gets broken. And brokenness is the state that every single person in this room finds themselves at one point or another. We are sinful, fallen people living in a sinful, fallen world. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we feel that brokenness. We know it's there. There are times in our lives where we think to ourselves, I'm not living the way I ought to be living. I'm not being the person I ought to be. All of us at some point in our lives feel regret, sorrow, shame. And we try to do things about it. We try to cover it up or fix it. We work harder. We try harder. We get super religious. We numb it with alcohol. We pass it on to our children. We try to do all these things. That's what those squiggly lines represent. We try to do all these things to kind of fix and get out of our brokenness. But if we're all really honest, at the end of the day, when we're by ourselves, we still feel the brokenness. Because we can't fix brokenness from brokenness. And so we needed something outside of our brokenness to step in, and that's exactly what God did. And that's through the good news of the gospel. And the gospel is this. It's exactly what John's talking about. In fact, he mentions it a few chapters before in John 3:16 when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so in order to fix our brokenness, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He lived a holy, perfect, righteous life, what we could not live. And then he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he experienced the wrath of our sin, the punishment of our sin, the penalty of our sin on the cross. And he died. And he was buried. And as we celebrate today, Jesus rose from the grave. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he defeated death so that we might have new life in him. And this is the good news of the gospel. So the question is, how do we pass from brokenness into new life through the gospel? And the Bible says that we need to repent and believe. And when we say believe, we mean exactly what he says, believing that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Everything about Jesus is true, and all that he did was true, that Jesus is alive. But then also we repent, and that means we make Jesus the Lord of our life, and we turn away from making ourselves the Lord of our own lives in order to make Jesus the Lord of our life. And the Bible explains this to it. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth we confess unto salvation. And the Bible says that if we repent and believe in the gospel, that we will be saved from our sin and our brokenness, and we will begin to recover and pursue God's design for our life. When John, in John chapter 20, says, I wrote these things to you so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life. This is what he's talking about. And so the question then comes to you. What will you do with this information? How will you respond to this? This is why John wrote it. He wanted you to know we really did see the resurrected Jesus. We really did touch the resurrected Jesus. This is true. And we're telling you this because we want you to believe, and by believing that you would have eternal life. But what will you do with it? Will you believe? That's the choice you have. I hope so. Because if you're like me, you recognize pretty quick when you're in that place of brokenness, all the things we're trying to do, they don't fix it. And eventually, sometimes we just throw our hands up and we give up. But I want you to listen to me today. Jesus is alive. He is alive. That we have good reason to believe that he is alive. This was not done in a fairy tale land. This was not done in a far off place. That this happened in Jerusalem in the midst of the Passover. And the tomb was empty. Jesus was crucified. The tomb was empty. And the people who are telling you through these pages today that Jesus is alive were willing to give that testimony right up to their last breath. Jesus is alive. And if they were here today, they would tell you, believe. What if you're already a Christian in this room? What if you've already gone to the place where you have believed in the gospel and you have received that? Well, I'm glad that you asked, and even though I know you didn't, I'm going to tell you anyways. See, there's one more thing about our passage today that tells us that we need to do. See, that John reminds us that we saw the risen Savior, that we touched the risen Savior, so that you might believe in the risen Savior and you might go and tell others about the risen Savior. I want to go back to verse 21. It says, and Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. See, Jesus is inviting you to believe in him. And if you believe in him, he is also sending you to call others to believe as well. Why? Well, remember what I said just a few minutes ago from John 3:16. Because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. See, this good news is not just for me. And this good news is not just for some of you. But this good news is for the world. So that all who believe, hear the good news and believe in Jesus might be saved. See, John 20:21 is the Great Commission statement that we have in John. What we hear most often is found in Matthew when it says, Jesus came near and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. John wants us to know they have seen the risen Lord. They have touched the risen Lord. And they call us to believe in the risen Lord and then to go tell the world about the risen Lord. So, how should you read this passage today? And what do you want to do with it? I hope that if you are in this room today and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you have not placed your hope and trust in Him, believing that Jesus is alive and that not only is He alive, but that He has died on the cross for your sins, risen from the grave to give you new life, and that you would make Him the Lord of your life and in doing so be saved. But I pray also that you will take this good news and that you would share this wonderful, wonderful news with a world that needs to hear it. For some of you, that might be here in just a few moments over an Easter dinner. For others, that may mean going a great distance to tell people who have never had access to the gospel before. But let me tell you what I know. I know that Jesus is alive. I know that He is risen. And I know that through Him, every single person in this room can have eternal life if they would believe. And so I would challenge you today, do not let this invitation, do not let this message just go one ear and out the other. Don't let it just fade off into oblivion as we go on to our Easter celebrations. But take a moment and ask yourselves, do I believe? And if I believe, am I willing to surrender my life to Jesus? And if I'm willing to surrender my life to Jesus, am I willing to go and to make Him known? Let us pray. My God, my joy, thank you so much for today. God, we praise you for the good news of Easter Sunday. Lord, I pray that we would not be unbelieving, but believe. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that John wrote these things to us not to tell a good tale or to give us a new myth to learn morals from, but God, that He gave us this because He really did see Jesus alive. And that He was there when Thomas touched Jesus, and that He knew that Jesus had indeed risen from the grave. Lord, I pray that we would recognize what John is wanting us to do with this information. And God, that we might believe. And Lord, in believing that we might surrender our lives to Him. Father God, this is a message too good and too big for this one room full of people. But God, there is a world out there who desperately needs to hear that Jesus defeated death and that through faith in Him they can have everlasting life. And so, God, I pray that you would put a burden on the heart of every single person here, a burden for their families, for their friends, for their coworkers, for people who are moving to our city, and people all over the world. And, Lord, I pray that that burden would lead us to share with them that Jesus is alive. And, God, we pray for a big harvest. Lord, we pray that you would change the lives of people in this room. And Lord, that you would change the lives of people throughout the world because Jesus is alive. Lord, we praise you for this. And Lord, we worship you today because of all of this. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.